But you are the lady's maid. Miss Philpot looked confused. Francine sat behind a handsome mahogany desk, looking at the little sparrow of a woman before her. It was doubtful if Miss Philpot could be helpful, or even helped, except by a liberal application of lunch. Her bony wrists hung from her brown wool coat sleeves, and the shoulders inside gave that woeful garment all the shape of the wooden hangers that the newest trunks were fitted with. Her hair seemed bushier than their last meeting, and was confined by many pins beneath the plainest of brown hats. Her rather desperate eyes took up most of her thin face, reminding Francine of the starving children of her childhood. "And you, the governess," said Francine with a cool smile.
"I did not mean to give offence, but when I received your letter at my lodgings today, I did not think this interview would be with you."
The meek little lady was distressed, but the class difference between a maid and a governess was understood. She was the product of a gentleman's family, in this case, as Francine knew, a ship's captain, a daughter who had failed to marry and had been trained for little more. Thus she ended, since her family were not wealthy enough to provide for her, by training other young ladies to attain the female accomplishments thought necessary, reading, writing, drawing, playing the piano, as well as the dictates of decorum, in the hopes that their education would pay off in marriage. They delivered a general education to the boys of the family, too, until they were ready to be sent off to school. Francine had often thought that a governess's lot was a particularly lonely one. They were separated from the other servants by class, and sometimes only given the slightest attention by the family. At the Farmington's house party, where both the Curlews and the Fredericks, Miss Philpot's employer, had attended a week of hunting, Francine had seen an incident that had shown her Miss Philpot's situation. Crossing a landing, she heard Mrs. Farmington, Mrs. Fredericks, and her mistress chatting as they descended the stairs. Her own dear Lady Elizabeth said to Mrs. Fredericks,
"I talked to your little mouse of a governess today. She seemed a bit of a dear old thing. Is she to come for dinner?"
"I hardly think that will be necessary. She has so little conversation. Frankly, she bores me more than she bores my girls," Mrs. Frederick said. There was a tinkle of laughter.
Francine had stopped, seeing Miss Philpot standing in the shadows, wearing her very best dress, with the rare addition of a lace collar, obviously ready to go to dinner. Behind her, Mrs. Farmington, a large, bejewelled presence, said, "Oh dear, I may have invited her over breakfast this morning. Never mind, I can have Jenkins send up a cold collation. If we do it swiftly, she'll take the hint, I suppose." For an awful second, Miss Philpot's eyes met hers, full of shame, and then she jerked her stiffened body around and ran back to her room.
"A lady's maid? Yes, but I'm now a businesswoman."
Francine was dressed in her office clothes, a black wool skirt, flat at the front but full at the back, of the finest quality and cut, was topped by a blouse with conservatively extravagant leg-of-button sleeves and a jabot frothing at the neck. There was a tailored three-quarter-length jacket on the coat-stand, as well as a dashing hat to teeter atop her generous coils of hair.
"How long have you been seeking a position, Miss Philpot?"
The elder lady, perhaps 40, but looking 10 years older, gave her startled doe impression once more.
"8 weeks, I think." "And no position has opened up?" "No, I think that governesses are going out of fashion somewhat. Many middle-class families send their girls to school nowadays. I believe," she said with an attempted cheerfulness, "that there are some very good schools for young ladies."
"I have a position I would like you to fill." Miss Philpot looked shocked.
"Do you then have children?"
"I do not."
"Am I to be employed by a friend of yours or a client? I confess I'm a little confused, miss."
"No. First, I wish to tell you that you will be working for me and not the household I sent you to."
"I beg your pardon?"
"You will in effect be my spy."